Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Miles, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very talented writer, stand-up comedian, podcast host of the Bechdelcast podcast, which takes down the patriarchy one movie at a time. She also happens to have a master's degree in film and the most anagrammable name in the English language.
Oh, yes.
So depending on whether you've been given her name on an assortment of Scrabble tiles, you might know her as Nine Tit Dracula, Latin Dancer UTI, but in our hearts, she will always be Caitlin Durante!
Thank you so much, aka Canine Tail Turd.
Yes, those are the worst. When the tail gets too fluffy, when the tail gets too fluffy, and then there's a little surprise waiting when you go to comb it out.
That's like a real thing. Well,
that's a dog like, dingleberry, yeah.
Like Latin Dancer UTI, that's not touching on anything. Nine Tit Dracula either. Not to, you know, cast aspersions on those fantastic names, but dog, wait, was it canine tail turd?
Tail turd.
I can tail turd.
The merch is making itself. It's beautiful. Okay,
and that's courtesy
of
I just want to give credit where credit is due. That's courtesy of Andy Townshend, aka Flump, on the Discord. Okay. I hope that information is still all correct, because this was shared with me some months ago. But
Good. You had it.
You were just sitting on that?
Yeah.
Like a dog with a canine tail turd? You were just sitting on canine tail turd this whole time?
Just ready. Yeah, she got that thing on her, man. Run up, get done up with a dog turd. Hey, Caitlin, I got to ask you, I didn't see the movie, but when I saw the trailer, I said, I have to know what Caitlin thinks of this. The unbearable weight of, was it Massive Talent?
Yes.
The Nick Cage film? And you know I'm asking why I wanted to talk to you, because from the only thing I really gleaned from that film is there is an energetic debate over Paddington 2 being the best film of all time.
Correct. So Pedro Pascal's character deems it his third favorite movie of all time, which he's insufficient wrong about because it should be number one.
Sure.
But they then, and then Nicolas Cage is like, what are you talking about? That's ridiculous. And then they watch it together and then they're both in tears and saying like, Paddington 2 is incredible. And he's like, I told you. And then there's a callback toward it. There's a callback to it later on in the film. Oh. So multiple Paddington 2 references, obviously the best part of the entire movie. The movie itself is pretty fun. You know, it's a fun romp. Right. But the Paddington 2 references really elevate it to something great.
That they know what they're doing, that this is for the culture.
Exactly.
You know, absolutely.
And they take it seriously. It's not like a joke where like he's dumb because he likes Paddington 2. No. It's like he actually knows.
We respect these characters more because they acknowledge the greatness of Paddington 2.
Got it.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I'm in
Have
my
you
mind.
Seen it yet, Miles or Jack? Like, no, Jack, I'm going you've seen
to.
It.
That's good. Oh, that's the next one I think I'm going to go see. I might see in a theater. It's not streaming yet, right?
I'm talking about Paddington 2. I don't give a shit about.
So oh, I want to see the debate.
Talent?
Yeah,
I'm asking you, Miles, if you've seen Paddington 2 yet.
Miles, no, I know it's the beginning of the week, but you got to get your head straight, man. We're talking about Paddington 2, man.
You're upside down on all this shit, man. Try to keep up, motherfucker. Have you seen it? No, I fucked up.
Oh. You promised. You made a promise to me.
I know. And you know, at that promise. And it was a hard time. I was voting for Joe Biden around then. I was doing all kinds of stuff I normally wouldn't do.
Right.
Going against a lot of things, I believe. And I apologize. That is my failure that I will own. And I will rectify it by the time.
Miles,
not even on mic. I will see it before I even record with you on Wednesday.
What?
Right, because we are recording a Bechdelcast episode of Biles.
And I'm not going to step in
Paddington
there.
Paddington 2. So this is not that big of a promise.
No, it's not on Paddington 2.
That would be amazing. You're like, I promise. And then you show up and you're like,
All right, Kaylin. Jamie, so I kind of fucked up bad again.
Hey, I fucked up.
I watched the ultimatum for a third time in a row. All the way through. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Oh, man.
Oh, goodness. If I had a Paddington 2 screening party, would you come?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll host a Paddington 2 screening party. Fuck it. To make up for it, can I go to AMC and then rent out the theater, have a private screening of Paddington 2 on their screen?
Yeah, please do that.
Okay. I feel like that's the only way I can make up for this, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm like acting like a stepdad who forgot about their stepkid's birthday. I'm like, yeah, and now I'm going to go way overboard. Yeah, yeah. Because I fucked up materially, so it make up for my lack of emotional contributions.
When you have an opinion that is like correct but lesser known, and then like people kind of start to come around on it, I feel like it can go a couple of different ways. How, like, when that was on screen in the movie, they were basically doing the same thing that you've been doing for years. How did that feel? Did you feel honored? Did you just feel like, okay, there is some truth in the universe?
Well, I already knew about the truth of the universe, and the truth obviously being that Paddington 2 is the greatest film of all time. Yeah. I did feel validated. It did feel like they were kind of cosplaying as me.
And right.
So that kind of makes me sort of like a superhero.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, because you cosplay superheroes. Right. So I really did feel like a hero.
Yeah, you are.
And a soldier.
And have the filmmakers commented on whether that was explicit subtext, like them cosplaying?
Well,
as
because
you?
I can take sole credit for
for Paddington
the only
2
person.
Being good. The observation that it's a great film. I believe it, honestly, in my heart.
I am always curious because when I was younger and like somebody really liked a band and then the people found out about the band, the people who originally liked it would be like, nah, fuck that. I don't like the band anymore now that everybody else likes the band. I feel like that has become less of a popular position. They would be like, they sold out.
Right. Because that always baffled me because you're basically operating under the same principle or ideology as like conformity, where you're letting other people's opinion influence how you feel about something.
No, it's not like, that. Like it's just that I'm not cool anymore for liking this obscure band. And now that now everyone's like, objectively, they're a good band. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. The obscurity was the thing, apparently, that they liked.
My whole
about
personality
it.
Was liking things people don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And rejecting things that are widely accepted.
And like that's medicine. Still a major thing in fan culture with like people who are like, well, I was into like Marvel before there was an MCU, and everything you say about it is going to annoy me now that like there are such thing as casual fans.
Oh, yeah. There's a few people who family friends who got me into comics who like I hear the way they talk about Marvel now is truly on some like, bro, I was living that shit. Page by page, man, before fucking John Favreau came along. Yeah.
Have either of you seen Doctor Strange, speaking of Marvel MCU?
Oh, no, I've seen, I think, 3 MCU films in my whole life.
Right. I forget this about you.
Yeah. I'm wildly inconsistent with the kinds of things I watch.
I've not seen it. I was a little scared off by the title. That sounds like a lot of...
Strange in the in the Multiverse of Madness?
Yeah. I don't like I don't like conflict. I don't like madness when people are mad at me or the universe. A strange doctor. Get me out of here, man.
No,
I want my
sir.
Doctors to be not strange.
Straight down the middle and trustworthy.
Yeah. Where's Dr. Trusting Eyes?
All I know is that there are no Paddington 2 references in Doctor Strange in Multiverse of Madness, so it's not really a good movie.
Which is disappointing, I think, to everyone.
Exactly.
Jabari, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Well, honestly, most of what I've been researching lately is footage and background for Finals File, but truthfully, the very last thing that I searched was this morning. It was Steven Seagal running, because it was pointed out on another podcast. And even though I've seen all of his 80s and 90s films, I'm pro Sleepover, by the way, as well. Even though I saw most of them, for whatever reason, it never stood out to me. But needless to say, it absolutely did not disappoint. I encourage you guys to do it. And since he's a pretty reprehensible individual, allegedly, I don't feel guilty about laughing at it. It basically looks like he runs with someone else's arms attached to his body.
That's really true.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Hold on.
He's such a sleepover all-star. He only wears pajamas now. Like, this dude just walks around in the most comfortable of clothing.
Oh, yeah. He run like a brand new out the box Terminator.
Yes. Or like a baby giraffe. So
in my mind, that makes me think of the T-1000, who runs in a very with his arms, whereas Steven Seagal's arms like don't really know what to do.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's new to this. Like, he hasn't fully been like, no, I'm on my T-1000
grizzly. Up.
You guys remember that old 90s movie Body Parts, where I think it was like Jeff Fahey was in it, and they like gets into a car crash, and then they put his body back together with like the body parts of a murderer. And they're not, they're not functioning properly.
I remember the poster for this film that was a bunch of limbs with cables coming out of it.
Yeah, that's basically what he looks like running.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that makes sense. Yes.
Yeah. That's the premise of so many movies where it's like, I have the eyes in my head now of a murderer. And I have never all that successful, but that's a challenge. To anyone
was
out
this
there.
Like in an era where like transplant surgeries were like becoming more like survivable and like useful, so then someone, you know, some coked out writer and is like, dude, what if like you got fucking murderer arm?
Well, it comes from us, from the original coked out writer Mary Shelley.
Oh, sure.
You know, with the original Frankenstein.
For some reason, we're going to go back to the Bible. The original God.
I think a lot of people stole the idea from that well-known documentary, Face Off.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Shit, what am I talking about? It hasn't been done well. But it's been done perfectly, and I need
But that's more like, that's less of like, does this foreign appendage or organ affect who you are?
Yeah, it never takes over their body. In fact, it's just them in a great disguise, but they are 100% themselves, other than some parts where Nick Cage as John Travolta is like looking in the mirror and is like,
Oscar.
So like his reflection is messing him up, but
Idle Hands. There was that one with Devin Sawa.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them.
But that was more of like a possessed hand that he had.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I'm talking about is like the possessed hand, the possessed eyes, the possessed... What? There was a VHS box that made me think Steve Martin might have starred in one, but maybe the man with two brains. I don't actually know what that was about, but
it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. What's something you guys think is overrated?
I think sparkling water is overrated.
Okay,
I'm a tap person.
Oh,
I guess I get that some people don't like tap or can't drink like still water, but I don't personally understand it.
You would disagree on that then, Paul.
Okay, well, didn't mean to cause some tension here. Do you like sparkling at all? Or you're just, you said, no, I don't need that. I'm fine.
Same guess.
Sparkling? No, I mean, so I don't mind fizz, like soda or like a Red Bull, but I don't get the sparkling water thing. I think it's, I think it's a little hoity-toity.
Oh, wow. Man, okay.
This guy's like just digging away.
Your inner Philly.
We did not coordinate. That's the thing. Maybe we should have. I didn't realize. Mesh is,
no, that's good.
I didn't realize you hated sparkling water so much, Paul.
This episode's
I didn't realize
like you hated crossfire. Me so much. We're trying to turn this into crossfire where you right. guys are just going at each other.
All right. And, yeah. Sparkling water sucks. Mesh, go. You're a butter.
I have a soda stream in my house. So.
Yeah, I just got one.
They're great. See,
I feel you on this, Paul. Like when I'm thirsty, I'm not thinking, oh, I need a sparkling water. I'm like, I need water so I can down a bunch of like fluid before without my chest bursting because of like the intensity at which I drink things when I'm thirsty. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Like when you start going, you take
when I
a,
take
two
a
fizzies,
gulp of that and then your chest feels like it's gonna like fucking hit my, alien baby is about to pop out.
So I don't like it for that, but like I like it to, you know. I'll mix drinks with sparkling water and things like that. It's nice to have like to sip on, but like for pure hydration, there's no fucking way I could be like, I need a Pellegrino.
Yeah, see someone with sparkling water in the gym? That wouldn't make sense, right?
Oh, what?
So,
yeah, see, well, I'd have something to say. Or I wouldn't say something, but I would be judgmental in my mind.
I have something to say under my breath after I left.
I went into an infrared sauna the other day and, you know, you get bottles of water and you go into it and they were only stocked with sparkling water. I think someone made a mistake. So I'm in the sauna and I'm like chugging it and don't realize it's sparkling water and they didn't have regular water. In that case, sparkling water does not work when you're in 175 degree heat.
No. And then I'm sure the burps are like criminal in an environment that hot.
Yeah.
What's something you think is underrated?
My answer is asking for help.
Okay.
I love to ask for help. I do it all the time. And I think people are so uncomfortable doing it or view it as a weakness. And I'm like, oh man, just ask for help. I'm recovering from pretty major knee surgery. And I've had to have people help me a lot along the way. And when I landed in New York, I landed in LaGuardia during my book tour. And my mom was traveling with me, which was so nice. And she was like, you know what? We should just get you a wheelchair for here because this airport's too big. And I was like, I felt like kind of bad about it. I was like, well, I could technically walk it. I could technically, you know, and she was like, just get the wheelchair. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. I've seen you. I think you definitely could use the wheelchair for sure. You're still limping. You're still limping. Like, you don't have to push yourself if you're still limping, Allison.
Agreed.
Yeah. It's just like, it's lovely. And also allowing people the opportunity to help you. You know, like when I find out that like friends or loved ones have gone through something and like not asked me for help when I could have maybe done something, I feel sad. I love when people ask me to help out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's. I agree. That is the secret to like a lot of people who I've known like my whole adult life, and they're very successful. And the thing that they seem to be really good at is just being like, oh, I'm not afraid at all to ask, you know, a company, a person, whatever it is. I'm just like, yeah, this, like, most people will say yes. And then there's also this dynamic where I think it was like Benjamin Franklin talked about it, where by asking someone to do you a favor, they are more likely to like you in the long run, which sounds like a weird, like, you know,
some weird how friendship
to win
game.
Friends and influence people.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like Dale Carnegie bullshit. But yeah. It also, exactly. I think it reveals something about what you were saying, that like people do like to help if you give them a chance to. So
it also like weirdly builds intimacy, you know, to like be there for someone. It kind of strengthens your relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Gabby? What is something you think is underrated?
Joy. And here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say. I got a rant ready.
Oh, boy. Gabby loves to have a big lead into whatever they say.
I'm so ready for this one.
Be the answer.
Joy is the wave.
No, on our podcast together that me and Allison do, just between us, I call it Conspiracy Corner, where I'm like, get ready for Conspiracy Corner. And then I gear up with whatever conspiracy I want to talk about for 10 minutes while Allison just nods. So I'm not going to do that to you guys. But two friends of mine wrote a movie called Crush that's on Hulu. It's a movie that is just pure queer joy. It's just a lovely film, right? And the New York Times person reviewed it. And I don't know her sexuality, but I'm going to, I think, believe me, I went a little bit crazy and I looked into her and I think she is straight. And the point that I want to make is that I took a lot of issue with the review of the film because of one word in it, which is flimsy. She calls the film flimsy. Mm. Now, to me, let's zoom out. To call a film that is full of happiness and joy and love flimsy sucks to me. And to, especially at a time when queer youth are so under attack, when trans kids are so under attack, when anti-LGBT legislation towards kids is so heightened and so in the news, even if it doesn't get passed, it still creates an environment where queer kids believe that they are less than because the government is even considering this stuff, because the news covers like trans swimmer and what does this mean and whatever, to like not have the context of the political situation right now, of the daily zeitgeist, as it were, to call a film like that flimsy is at best irresponsible, at worst homophobic. Thank you.
Damn.
Hear, hear.
And now everybody listening needs to go watch Crush.
On Hulu.
More than that, make more queer movies that are joyful. Make more, in general, movies about young people that are joyful. Thank you. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw so much pushback about like Lost City, where even people who like really loved it are like, well, yeah, I mean, it's not a good movie, but I loved it. And I was like, no, if you loved it, it was a good movie.
Thank you.
It's not that, like, yeah, maybe it's not tackling, like, world hunger and, like, horrible sadness, but it is very hard to create something that people enjoy.
Correct.
And so if someone enjoys it, then it is well done. It might just be a different genre than what we nominate for the Oscars.
100%. Yeah. You can have fun at the movies, and it doesn't have to be, like, I just think, like, I'm over trauma porn.
Yeah, I think.
Feel that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a skill to make something that makes you happy. Like, it's correct. Not like, oh, I didn't try at all and I just made a 2-hour film that everyone giggled at and loved and felt happy during, but oh, that's a piece of trash. Like, it's
correct.
It's going to be really interesting to see what the Oscars do with Everything Everywhere All at Once, which is
100%.
Very interesting.
Universally beloved, critically acclaimed. It is a shot of joy, just like adrenaline and joy, like to the heart. And also it makes you cry. But I do wonder if the Oscars will be able to make room for that in their cold, shriveled heart.
<You know>? Yeah. Talk overrated, the Oscars. But this comes from an Oscars gay. I love the Oscars.
Right.
Everything I love is attacked. I'm a Disney gay. I'm an Oscars gay. And everything is just ruined. So...
Hey, worth fighting for.
I thought you were just about to say, and this comes from an Academy Award winner.
That would be amazing.
I won for
Conspiracy Corner, actually.
Yeah, it's a classic.
Yeah, best original documentary. Mm-hmm. Classic. Loved it.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
And we're back. And there are a handful of conversations I think everybody's having, or, you know, research projects people are doing, like just trying to figure out what the fuck is going on with our country and what the future could look like, because it almost like the future almost feels more unimaginable than it ever has at this point. Mm-hmm. And so one question that I think a lot of people have is like, what rights could be next based on this opinion that was written?
Because, yeah, like we were talking about last week, the logic that Justice Alito is essentially laying out is like, well, the Constitution doesn't mention women or the word abortion. So, which is terrifying when you consider how many of our current rights and laws are not in the Constitution verbatim.
Yeah.
And many have said, you know, same-sex marriage could be next. And I'm not sure how quickly they're going to go for like a full scale, like just like rapid repeal of like all of these laws, because I know at the same time you can tell the Republicans are struggling with this, where how they just cannot use the word abortion out loud right now. They're like, the leak or something. So now you got to just kind of look at where a lot of this energy is swirling, and you can tell that there's a lot of homophobia in the tank with the GOP right now. And just recently, last week, there was a letter from a few distinguished shitbag senators from Utah, Kansas, North Dakota, and Indiana. They're coming at the TV ratings people. Like, you know, when you put a TV show on, it says PG or like Y7 or whatever, MA.
Yeah.
Coming at those people, leaning on them, saying, hey, we need to have a meeting and we need to talk, because I don't know if you heard about all this LGBTQ stuff out there, but we were asking is maybe you need to create some kind of new rating or category that alerts homophobes to the presence of LGBTQ characters or themes. And this letter, I mean, it reveals a few things. It reveals how they, what they, you know, how they even view anyone who's not cis, het, human, as well as just kind of they're still like they're still simmering beef with Disney because they used Disney to kick off the outrage. They said, quote, recently a video emerged showing a prominent executive at a children's entertainment giant saying she supports having, quote, many, many, many LGBTQIA plus characters in our stories. To the detriment of children, gender dysphoria has become sensationalized in the popular media and television with radical activists and entertainment companies. The radical and sexual sensation not only harms children, but also destabilizes and damages parental rights. Mm-hmm. They talk about how they're going against the Don't Say Gay bill, about the, you know, bans classroom instruction on sexual orientation or gender identity. And they go on to say sexual orientation and gender identity instruction often entails a discussion concerning an individual's pattern of emotional, romantic and sexual attraction. Yeah, that just sounds like you're learning some facts.
Right.
But let's not, again, forget that conservatives, as it relates to anything dealing with gay rights, is that their mentality is like, well, if you even hear that two men could kiss, that could instantly create a homosexual.
Right.
By the mere mention, by the mere viewing of it, that is how malleable our brains are. Don't think for a second people know innately who they are deep down on some level. It's that they heard about this that is going to present an issue. They go on to say, a former creator of Disney children's content recently published an article acknowledging that every children's TV writer knows to be careful about, quote, modeling behavior, end quote, as children will often imitate what is projected through the TV scripts, especially preschoolers. Again, what they mean is don't show a kid, don't maybe have your characters sticking forks into light sockets.
Right.
Yeah, that part. But I'm not like, I'm not over here being like, yo, mom, can I get some paint so I can go paint a tunnel view on this wall and hopefully get some cars to drive through it?
And the modeling behavior is, yeah, we would like to create a world where people feel free to be themselves. And so we don't want to model a world where like a certain type of person doesn't exist, or that type of person is like treated hostily as they have been in our culture, like up until, you know, a couple years ago, basically. Yeah,
literally, right?
The thing of it is like, and we all know this, none of this is about modeling. It's all about supremacy. It's all about control.
Yeah.
I almost feel sad now when I see people like almost ironically sharing the, you know, we're going to be the America's going to be the Handmaid's Tale. Like when we share those types of like memes and whatnot, because like that's the reality. We are all headed to like 1982, you know, Footloose, style. that is the lifestyle that these legislators seem to want. And I'll be honest with you, it's actually terrifying. Like I don't have children. But, you know, those of us that have kids, that's for me, that's a terrifying thought. that not only are we, you know, are we rolling it back, but it's being forcibly rolled back. And to your kind of a point that you brought up, Jack, earlier, Jack, I think it was Miles. I feel like this is absolutely coming. Like they are absolutely going to come for all of
this
the rights.
This is low hanging fruit. Right. Yeah. So while you may not go and say we need to repeal same sex marriage, you say, well, let's turn up the heat in other places. Maybe we can disappear LGBTQ people from anything a child may see.
Right.
And they have a lot of energy to back that. This letter does go on to even use just like completely just inaccurate shit. They say when they're talking about how the children's content, like especially Y7 things and how dangerous that could be to have to anybody who is not a straight person on there. They said, this dialogue often involves the promotion of irreversible experimental treatments that involve surgical and otherwise invasive cosmetic procedures that are detrimental and life-altering and do not evidence medical necessity. What fucking show is that kids are watching? And this is, again, because everything is about blowing things completely out of proportion to get the energy, the panic, the frenzy, the fear-mong just at the highest level, so you can direct that at will, you know?
And honestly, using the mindset of, oh, well, it wasn't in the Constitution. It's like, hey, you know, first of all, let's give the founding fathers a break. They were more focused on being able to like own people and American imperialism and, you know, things of that nature. You know,
yeah, they were like women. What are you talking about?
Right.
No.
I think one of the people who wrote the Constitution like kept their wife in like chained in a basement. Like I'm pretty sure that's accurate.
I mean, I'm sure they kept many people chained somewhere. So
yeah.
Wife
yeah.
or not, I can see the barbarism of it all. And then, so, you know, this is all just coming down to the fact that they want to institutionalize even further this like abhorrent homophobia. And so as they want to disappear these people in the name of protecting children, I think Evan Hurst at Wonkat actually pointed something very interesting out about like how these parents of like hyper conservative Christian parents are, is that if anyone's grooming anyone, these parents are grooming their kids to be cishet self-loather bigots who are not going to honor who they are.
Absolutely.
That's the momentum. That's the environment that these parents are creating. One environment is one that says, do not feel ashamed of who you are as a person. You can come as you are and you are worthy. The other version is, where'd you fucking hear that? Don't look at that. Don't see that. It might turn you this. And if that happens, then that means this. That is a world filled with a lot of negative energy for a child. I'm pretty sure comparatively, that's how that looks from my perspective.
They're grooming current children to be like our grandparents. And no disrespect to anybody's grandparents, but that time in life was not a good time in life for anybody. So
they had some things to work on, you know, my grandparents included, you know, we all did. But and I think it's, you know, to use the word groom or whatever, it's whatever. But I think just interesting to look at what the energy is being into. And if you're talking about you want to take a child to a certain conclusion about what the world is or what their life could be. And to add to that, too, the conservatives are still going on with this like furry panic thing. Like we didn't really talk about it much because it was just so ridiculous that you had conservatives being like, they're putting litter boxes in bathrooms because kids identify as animals mm-hmm. now, or they're sure furries they are. Or that they had to, in some states saying they had to lower the lunch tables to accommodate the children who identified as animals.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're continuing this whole fucking trend as well, because I think it's clearly doing something. It's getting the attention, even though most people don't understand it. But I think because we live in such a charged environment where like identity can now just mean anything and it's not about a human being, they're just fully going into like, okay, let's further to like other and dehumanize people who are different in any possible way.
Oh man, the next election is going to be fucking, I feel like so many of these things are like reaching their final form, or just like, yeah. And now it's all about protecting the children. Yeah, but I just, we've yet to hear a specific strategy that the Democrats are going to employ. Like that's where my feeling of inevitability comes from, is that the Democratic Party doesn't have, like the Republicans have a clear agenda that they are driving at, strategizing around, and have been for the past 40 years, and the Democratic Party doesn't seem willing to do anything. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, I think the biggest thing is that when it comes to abortion, that was never really something that was truly part of the platform. It was, you start to see what the things that get done, they can help take away regulations. They can make things easier for the financial industry. They can do things like that. But as it relates to like codifying Roe, never really seemed to be much interest there.
Right.
And, you know,
when they were sending us emails asking for donations.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got one this morning from Nancy Pelosi, because she texts all of God's children with a checking account and says, it's Speaker Pelosi, hear me, in some weird ass font. You text in like some, I'm like, how do you even get that font to show up in a text? And yeah.
She was wearing kente cloth. That's how
exactly. She knew. She's like, hey, brother, turn that Kendrick down real quick. I got some, I want to hip you to something. And goes on to say, I'll be blunt. How we act in this harrowing moment will decide the future of our nation. We can either let right-wing forces pull us backwards, or we can rise up together and fight to protect women's rights once and for all. the only way to protect reproductive rights is to build on our Democratic majorities in the House and Senate and defeat every last anti-choice Republican who made this happen. First of all, you are caping for Henry Cuellar in Texas, who's a Democrat who is anti-abortion.
Right.
So now square that shit, because you're protecting people in the party that don't even believe this.
Look, I'm a political idiot. One of the reasons why I was drawn to this show to begin with, because I was like, look, these guys, hey, they're teaching me some stuff. I really appreciate the way you guys phrase it. I appreciate it.
Jabbar, you already got the gig, bro.
No, but I'm saying, like, this was literally that, like, I'm talking about, you know, years back, that was the appeal. I was like, you know what? I need someone to talk to me like I am a 5-year-old, and you guys do a great job of explaining things. And one thing I'll say is this, to respond to something that you asked earlier, Jack, or you know, that you alluded to earlier, was, you know, what's the Democrats, you know, plan? You know, what's their strategy? From a political idiot, what it seems like it always has been is, hey, we're not them. Hey, we're better than them. Hey, yeah. just vote blue. Like, that's all I've heard, at least over the last 4 years. And I'm not trying to dissuade anybody. I'm not trying to, you know, like, talk anybody, you know, into, you know, voting Republican or doing anything else.
No.
But that's what it feels like. It just feels like they're good enough with simply being a little bit better than the other side.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because that's where the funding is. Yeah.
It's worked wonders.
Yeah. And like the text of the from Nancy Pelosi of, now more than ever, this is it. Like, this is the moment. Like,
you sent me this text 6 years ago.
And like, probably 3 months ago. Like, I feel like they're constantly evoking this shit. And then, like, now, it doesn't work because
these text messages are so fucked up and absurd when you read them, given what is happening right now.
Right?
People are fucking... there are people right now who are wondering, how the fuck am I going to do right by my own body right now? Yeah. How do I do that?
Yeah.
And this text goes on to say, we're looking at this an existential. We face existential threats constantly, but this one's very specific and it's very, very important. You go on to tweet in the same text asking for money, quote, I need a once in a lifetime response. 10,000 gifts in the next 12 hours to put us in a position to win this fight and protect our fundamental rights. If we don't meet our goal, Republicans think they can get away with anything. So you've rhetorically tied the idea that if we do not give you our money, then our rights are fucking gone.
Yeah.
That's how you're motivating people.
All I ask is for one Democrat to come out and describe, like, what has prevented you from protecting women's rights? Why has that so it's not enough to be like, Manchin. Why is Manchin like beholden to the forces that he's beholden to? What are you doing? Like, what can you do? What is at stake in your mind? What is at stake beyond, like, you know, your next election? What is at stake? What is the thing that motivates you? Is it like the people who are going to suffer from this? Because you don't really seem to like reach out to them or talk about them. It's all about, you know, reaching out and asking for a once in a lifetime bunch of money.
This is the thing. Is it, like, Gavin Newsom, I don't know how sincere he is, but he was really like, where the hell is my party?
Right.
He's like, why aren't we standing up more firmly, more resolutely? But he's also saying this at a rally. And it's much easier to be like, as a governor, be like, what are they doing over there? Because governors love to do that. That helps them seem like a little bit disconnected from like the larger, you know, national party politics of it all. But that was the most forceful thing I read in a headline, was Gavin Newsom being like, dude, where's my party?
Mm.
But I don't know.
There's got to be like a bunch of Democratic strategists who are reaching out to AOC being like, this is your moment. Like, come in, run for the presidency next, like, for 2024. Like, the things are too bad for Biden to win again. I think all that's true. The problem is the people who are reaching out are Democratic strategists. Like, you know, it would need to, I don't know how you unfuck the whole DNC of it all.
We'll see. I mean, because right now they're sending text messages like, I need gifts. You need gifts? Motherfucker, people are asking for rights.
I need gifts is exactly like
fuck
what
out
doing.
Our faces with I need
oh
gifts.
Oh my God, that's so horrible what just
how
happened
you
to you. I need presents from you now.
10,000
like more than
gifts.
Ever, actually.
And then making you feel guilty if you aren't able to or willing to do it. That's
yeah.
a lot.
Oh yeah. You know what was wild? When I go through my texts, like at the end of last week, right before all this shit dropped, got another text and the energy on that one was like, hey, y'all, shit's bad.
Yeah.
Republicans might be leading by a point. And you're like,
yeah, that's all they have to motivate people.
Because imagine this, right? It's like when we watch fucked up ads and we're like, how the fuck did that company let them make that ad? There was nobody in the room. Well, it's because everybody in the room was looking at it the same way.
Yeah.
They didn't have any consideration how that looks outside the room because they don't even have the wherewithal to know that there is an outside the room.
That's right.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, outside the room. What's that?
Or if there is, they see it as outside the room is beholden to what we set in this room. So I don't give a fuck what's happening outside the room.
I'm almost like morbidly curious to like go listen to one of those like PodSave podcasts just to hear like what they're saying at this moment.
I mean, you know, they're talking about like attorneys general and like those moves and things that are happening in that sense, but you're not going to get like, I can't imagine you're going to hear the frustrations about the party boil over.
Right.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know. And again, I think that's what's really interesting is you can only keep doing stuff like this till these things without any prompting that these sort of takes and texts and things look so hollow. And you start realizing like, what the fuck? Like we're talking about people's rights and I'm getting hit up for money. It's like the first version of that is like when you graduate college and then like the first fall after graduating, they're like, hey, man, what's up, man? You thinking about donating? And you're like, what the fuck? That's like most people's reactions, right? When they graduate that first piece of mail or whatever, high school, whatever, you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? And that's how these texts are starting to sound to, I think, a lot of people.
Yeah. But I think you kind of hit it on the head, and not to belabor it, I'll make it quick. If you don't see people as people, if you don't ever interact with actual real people, you're not going to care. And that's how we end up in this situation. Like, let's be real. When's the last time? And I don't want to pick on I don't want to pick on Nancy Pelosi, but when's the last time you think she's had a real conversation with someone like you or I?
She would say, I met with constituents last week that my press team vetted before I was interacting with them so they could say three very specific sentences to me about a topic that I of my choosing. And it was wonderful. And they were actually disadvantaged.
that's like quote unquote colored, but yes.
Right. Yeah. Well, she had her FUBU on for that meeting.
And everybody's inside a broken system. So, I mean, it's like.
Yeah. But personally, the absurdity, right? Is you got men, non-uterus havers telling uterus havers how to run their shit.
Right.
And you got people who wouldn't know what the fuck anything costs or how stretched and strapped people are for cash or some sense of stability. People who are living the total antithesis of suffering, indulgence over the top everything. They're setting all the policy that determines how those people live. And it's just... that's not representative in any way. And I think that's, I think many people are probably for the first time having a reckoning of like being like, what the fuck? I thought those were like rights and that like they matter enough that you would knuckle the fuck up to protect them. And then they go away and now you're hearing crickets and Joe Biden being like, hey, get out and vote. And thanks. Nancy Pelosi asking for gifts.
Yeah. I mean, we are recording this a little bit ahead of Monday, so maybe, over the weekend, the Democrats are going to just drop a very detailed roadmap for how they're going
to
do everything.
Great.
And
would love to see. I would love to be proven
wrong.
Would
love for this to be outdated by the time y'all hear it.
But, I mean, and that's just one mess y'all got to clean up.
Right.
Don't think many people have forgotten. Don't think people who were talking about immigration have forgotten what's going on with that or what people who are interested in voting rights. Or criminal justice, like retangible reforms, not little winks and nods at shit, but like really changing shit. Because if you're not fit for it, that's just starting to, I'm just looking at the data that's out there. That's all.
And we really need a third party. We really fucking need a third party at this point.
I mean, there are plenty, right? You know, there are plenty other political parties, but like, where's the organization coming from, et cetera? And I don't, and I'm sure they will do everything to kill a third party in its crib it happens, because that is the that is the biggest threat to them. It's like, well, if they split off and get these other votes, then like, we're going to have to start doing our own gerrymandering to cut out the independents shit from voting.
Yeah.
It has always felt like that was the game, though. They recognize they're not really competing with one another. They're just keeping each other in business.
Absolutely. Look, one says as much as the Democrats are like, we think people should have access to abortion. Okay, now prove it.
Right.
What are you gonna do? That's all. That's really it. That's really it. Yeah. And that may help you get a little bump in the polls, but like, the most cynical version of this is that like the DNC wanted this to get out to try and like get the voters to realize what's at stake if they don't vote for us.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Nancy Pelosi had that font ready to go and she was just waiting. She needed somebody to create the news story for her to use it on.
Texting me like you some Tumblr refugee with your stylized text and shit. The fuck was that? You want fucking gifts? The gifts, I just can't get over. And I'm sure plenty of people, if you've ever given or you're a registered Democrat or whatever, you're probably getting these absurd texts. And I'm sure all you can do is look at that and be like, you sound so stupid.
Mm. All right, let's take a break and we'll come back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
And we're back. And I want to talk about like what we were just talking about, basically the fact that when somebody writes on someone's sidewalk in chalk or quietly protests at the outside of someone's house, and it's protesting a right-wing policy being promoted by white Bible-thumping men. Like, the reaction is to protect the Bible-thumping men. But on the other hand, I think a trend that is being... this has just kind of been normalized just because it's like one of many pieces of bad news. But the whole like rhetoric coming off of the right that like anybody who talks to children, makes room for children to have questions or even have gender affirming healthcare or, you know, messages around them is a groomer. So this guy, Jack Califano, tweeted last night, "The groomer and pedophile thing are the clearest moment where I've thought, oh wow, they really are planning on killing a lot of people eventually." Because like, if you read about genocides in history, like Rwanda, you know, like modern history, all it takes is like government complicity, which not hard to imagine in 2024 Trump administration, and a source of information that is just like reinforcing this messaging over and over again. And Rwanda was like radio, state radio. But like, I don't know, it's just we're in a really dangerous place. And I don't know how it gets less dangerous before, you know, like we've seen the story of people accosting families with gay parents in public, telling the kids they need to get away from their parents because they're groomers. And in the mainstream, we've seen like the panic over like the quote from a Disney call where they're just talking about spreading acceptance and messaging about like acceptance and diversity in their work. And they've turned that into like they're trying to brainwash our kids and like groom them to like victimize them sexually. I don't know. It like that tweet really like struck me as like actually true and kind of like something we should be thinking about more, not to be like we need to be like terrified, but this is a very like dangerous undercurrent that's only getting like louder and more surface level. I feel like
I think people should be more terrified.
I mean, it's terrifying overall because this is also a smokescreen for coming from real pedophiles.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, let's really look at this even further. This even is a complete, you know, this is a tactic in a group of people that we know are involved in trafficking and sex rings with children. And now that's like, you know, to kind of reapply and to sort of project this onto, you know, the gay population and to try to use sort of the widespreadness of us trying to like understand more and to try to be accepting of trans people of all ages, right? You know, this is a scary time and we should not be going backwards and forgetting. And like, it sucks because like when you use things like pedophilia, it makes it easier for people to be pedophiles, right? Because people redirect that attention somewhere else. And it's like, meanwhile, there's kids that are being hurt. Like, I don't want to, you know, say that we shouldn't be aware of that because that is a real problem. But like, it's such a slippery slope to move in to be like, no, now let's just kill all gay people because gay people are the reason why pedophilia exists. Mm-hmm. And that's they're not the same thing. They're totally mutually exclusive.
The conflation is precisely what they're going for. And
correct.
I mean, you just even look right. Because for all the talk of like, you know, you're going to have to vote your way out of this or whatever. I mean, do you look at the maps and how gerrymandered there are? It's most political forecasters like, I don't know how the fuck the Democrats are going to get a real majority in the Senate again. If you look at how these maps are going, how the gerrymandering works, the voter suppression, that are they even thinking about it from their perspective, too? It's like the deck is getting stacked increasingly.
Yes.
And chances of like being able to turn over politicians at a high rate is not very realistic. And I think the other thing that people don't realize, too, is how gridlocked state houses are, too, especially in red states. It's very difficult. So I think I think this is just something that generally deserves more awareness, because like we're saying, even with how Alito is talking about this decision, the logic is almost it's basically boiling down to, if it's not literally in the Constitution, it's not a right.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So that leads to gay marriage, that leads to contraception, that leads to so many other things. Like that, now some states aren't going to do it the way, you know, like everyone, but like we touched on yesterday or the day before, how this could also lead to like intrastate legal battles about trying to extradite people, like to say this doctor gave abortion care to this person from the state where it's illegal, and I want to charge you with attempted murder or something like that. That is another quagmire that is, you know, on the horizon as well, with as things get more litigious and fraught.
And accusations of like child abuse and child murder and things like that are always heavily involved in, you know, the early stages of a buildup to genocide, like the anti-Semitic belief that Jews were ritually murdering children was like a big part of like blood libel, which eventually, you know, led to the Holocaust, you know. And all of this would be like less concerning if we didn't live in a society where right-wing violence is like tolerated and left-wing protesting for human rights is equated with terrorism. Like that is the mainstream response. Like that's, you know, we talked about it with Susan Collins, but there has been so much right-wing extremism, and like the response from the right is to like openly put like screen a documentary where they're like, this is an attack on you, and like something that like amps up the rhetoric. Like Tucker Carlson had that like January 6th like documentary that was basically claiming that any sort of attempt to address right-wing extremism is a like political act by the left, a political act of like attacking. And it's just so dangerous and heading in a more dangerous direction. And there's just like nothing really pushing back on it, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, again, why it's even more important to begin looking in your own community and understanding, like, you know, those how mutual aid is works, because it you know, there is a possibility for a positive outcome, but the way leadership is now in this country, it's hard to know that. I mean, there's just this, like, they're so out of touch with everything that's happening. Katie Porter, who's a congresswoman from California, who regularly gives really moving speeches or like interrogates bankers or other people, she, and apparently like in a closed session meeting with other Democrats, she like got really emotional just talking about how expensive, like just literally bacon is at the store, and how many families are looking to be like, holy shit, sandwich bread is like $5.
Yeah.
Like how the fuck do now I'm on the search for something that's like under four, or cereals like 7 or 6.5. And she was talking about just her experience as a provider. And the stress she felt of being like, I don't know if I can buy $10 pack of bacon when I go to the store. And apparently she was saying after that, she said it was the first time she saw her colleagues kind of connect with what she was saying. And they said, but this isn't showing that, she said, somebody came up to her, another congressperson, said, this isn't showing up in the polling. And she said, you're not asking the right fucking questions.
Correct.
And that's, correct, I think, so revealing. Is that so many, there's only like a handful of people that are in Congress that are like, man, this shit is so bad for normal people. Like half of y'all are millionaires. Most of y'all are millionaires.
Yeah.
So what the fuck would you know about? Like you would barely bat an eye at a $5 loaf of bread, because the $5 is nothing to you. But if you have a budget and shit's increasing by orders of like 20% at a time, that throws your whole fucking life off. And that's the thing that they're not connecting with, and so many other things that, you know, like every, even like NGOs that are talking about the rise of fascism in the US, they're like, yeah, the way to combat it would be to combat inequality.
Yeah.
That's it. Don't allow the tension people experience to be co-opted by other people's narratives to say, to put fascism and shit in their head and be like, and that's why you're broke.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's so important too, like people on the coasts, you know what I mean? It's so easy because we do make more money, people who live on the coasts, you know what I mean, than the rest of the country. And I think it's so easy to get out of perspective and get so angry about the wrong stuff. You know what I mean? And not that like there's right stuff and wrong stuff, but there kind of is. You know what I mean? Like you need to be aware of what all these decisions are doing and how they're impacting the people that live in the middle and live in other areas. Like, being down here,
or even in the cities we're in, you know,
correct.
Shit.
You know, it could be the other side of the city that you don't drive to, that you don't see, You know what I mean? It's like, you just need to open your eyes and be aware. Like, being down here in the South has definitely like given me a new perspective on everything. You know what I mean? Because there's just such a huge juxtaposition of very, very poor and people who are just like not on the fucking internet. You know what I mean? And just stuff that is a little bit different. But it's, there's such a divide in our country, and it is terrifying. It's terrifying, and it's sad.
Yeah. And I think we just need to be able to get over like our philosophy as a nation that needing help is bad, because I think that mentality extends to, you know, men in the just ridiculously high suicide rates and other things. Like, there's not a culture of saying you're vulnerable in this country. And that's not okay, because like, oh, what, you're poor? Okay, how poor are you?
Right.
Do you deserve this? Like, what the fuck? I said I need help. I said I can't afford food. And now you're means testing this shit. I just need help. Or and the shame that goes along with that. And I think, and that we're constantly making people feel ashamed of that, rather than saying we need to just embrace people that need help. And that's fine. People need to be more open to say, I mean, not to say people aren't expressing that, but culturally, that's still, we're still not at that point where we can,
there's
someone
not
can
a
be vulnerable
behind it.
Yeah. And we embrace that.
And there's not a full time job's worth of work to get the help, which is currently the way it works.
Right.
That you have to suddenly work 20 hours a week to just manage the insanely understaffed system of the government and government subsidies and help.
And all those offices are only open during the hours that you are at work and your children, you know, are not at school. So it's like, you have to sacrifice either your own job, your child care, or your child's education in order to facilitate, like you said, getting those services, right? There's some stuff you can't even do online. You got to go in there. You got to show them some piece of paper. You got to, you know, it's terrible. It's like, how do you expect someone to work and then you also come in here between 8 and 2 p.m.?
Okay, cool. And that's how we save money.
That's how the government saves money. Yeah.
And then we can still pat ourselves on the back and say, hey, I signed that bill. That allowed for that. But, you know,
I voted.
Yeah, but we kneecapped that little provision to the point that this is going to do fuck all. Don't worry. Man. But I can tell people that I'm doing that for
money. And money and resources to take advantage of every break the government wants to give them is corporations and rich people.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. It means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get, but with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.